Welcome to episode 78 of the Watching It podcast. On today's show, Donnell visits the Ozarks. Robert sees red in Soho. You too can have your dreams come true if you're a rich white girl born into a connected family in Lower Manhattan. I'm your host, Robert, and with me is Donnell. How are you doing today, Donnell?
Doing pretty good, Robert. Doing pretty good. Glad to have you back.
Glad to be back. It has been a long two-week vacation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I reached out to Kai. He just wasn't available this week to record. So I was like, damn it. I guess I'll get
you're trying
Robert.
To replace him. You're trying to replace him. No, that was a great episode. Thank you, Kai Bobby, for covering for me while I took some time off. If you want to hear more about my vacation, listen to this week's episode of Talking It.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a lot to cover.
We do.
So let's get right into it. Donnell, what you been watching?
Yeah, so, you know, I didn't take a two-week vacation, but I did manage to watch a few things. I'm about almost to the third season of The Ozarks. It comes back in January, so I'm getting a little bit of a head start on my rewatch, which is nice. And I'm just watching it again. I wanted something to throw on while I, you know, do stuff around the house or play video games. So I was like, yeah, something I've watched 2, 3, 4 times. Why not? Threw it on. But it's one of those things, like, the more I watch the show, and it's also one of the things that I'm like, well, we'll see how this lands, because season 4 is supposed to be the last season. The more the writing of it just... you know, it just sticks out to me of like how well put together this show is.
Oh, it's insanely well written.
And acted too, like everybody
and
the whole cast shot. A show that is compared to a lot. And I agree on some extent, but also not, is Breaking Bad.
I'd say it's much better than Breaking Bad.
That's what I'm starting to come to the conclusion. I was like, this one is just the story elements of in Breaking Bad. We had Walter White, you know, in a slow descent into becoming a drug kingpin and kind of how that affected everything. With the Ozarks, it's just literally this family dealing with the chaos of being money launderers. And the fact that the whole family's in on it from, like, one, I mean, the major difference is, like I said, in this one, dude's wife knew from the get-go. They even show you in some flashback episodes, like, she was like, yeah, are we doing this? Let's do this. Like, she was fully on board. So there was no, oh, this is why their marriage is having trouble. He's like, no. They're lying and stuff. But then they even get the kids involved. And it's like this insane chaos of trying to keep their heads above water. And every turn, they're just like,
I'm not a huge fan of that in a lot of cases where it's just like chaos. And it's like, oh, you just fixed one problem. Here's 4 more.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's a bit much. But, yeah, you know, the difference is that Breaking Bad had a certain level of comedy to it, you know, and Ozarks does not.
No.
There's no real comedy in there. And it's as much about the place as the people.
Yeah.
And the culture there.
Yeah.
Whereas Breaking Bad was just really about the man.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I've been watching it again.
I'm excited for season 4, though.
Oh, I am so excited for season 4. Like I said, I'm also nervous because I've talked about it so many times. Is the way you end a show can make or break everything.
Everybody's going to die.
I mean, if that's the case, if they do it well. But also, that to me, killing
everybody.
Or he's going
to become the president.
Killing everybody is just such a... lame man. To me, it's like you just made it. I don't know how to finish this, so I'll just kill everyone.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't do that unless they have a really good way of doing it and the story wise. But I am interested. I mean, the season 3 ends with them basically, and that was one of the things that was just out of left field. Like they succeeded almost. You know, they got the casino, everything's going fine, and the lawyer lady is taking them to meet the big boss, and then they get there. He just blows her head off. And you're like, what the
yeah.
and that's where it ends. I'm just like, whoa, where's this going to be next season? So yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
I love the scene where they get the mentally challenged kid to go buy a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, no questions asked.
When the dude's like, hold up, you checked here that you're buying it for somebody else. He's like, you didn't mean to check that, right? And then he's like, oh, yeah. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then after that, he's like, you want an autoloader and like how much ammo? Like the dude's just like, I'm just like, come on. I mean, I get he is legally of age, but there has to be some sort of like, why are we?
You got to make that money, man.
Yeah,
you got to make that paper.
I guess.
Even in the Ozarks.
So, yeah, I've given that another rewatch. Getting ready for season 4. Going to be psyched about that. We won't be covering Ozarks on this show, but definitely I'm going to be talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes, because it's something else. And the other thing I've been watching is... watching a YouTube channel, the guy's name, or he goes by Doug, and he has 3 channels. Okay. He has Doug Doug, Doug Doug Doug, and Doug 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 Doug.
And then Doug Demir.
He is a Twitch streamer, and he just posts his stuff on YouTube afterwards. And the thing that makes him interesting is he does all sorts of weird challenges with his chat. He does a lot of, like, letting them control the game or play the game or different challenges. Like, one of the challenges he did was because people were saying he'll do, like, Twitch chat to be the level in Mario. And so one of the challenges I watched that was kind of funny was he's a computer programmer and calculus math teacher, or that's what his job was before he realized he could make money. Like, that's the thing I think is so bizarre. This dude, he went to college, got a math degree and computer science degree, knows programming and calculus, and he's like, I can make more money sitting on Twitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's doing. But because of that, like, he programs stuff also, like, to make it where they can play the games. He programmed an AI to do random inputs, but predominantly move right was the main input. And basically he was like, because everyone was saying that people on Twitch playing Mario is just random and couldn't be better than a random AI doing it. So he put it to a test and had a random AI versus Twitch chat in beating Mario levels. And it was like, it was kind of
so
fun
it's
to
like
watch
Twitch,
that.
Twitch plays Pokemon or
yeah,
whatever.
Like Twitch plays yeah. Pokemon except Mario. He's always like, and another one he did was that I watched actually just today was, and he didn't finish it because he realized he was screwed, is he was doing beating Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3. And every time he died, he would, which is basically giving away money, and he sold all the math of it because he's a math teacher, he would give subs to other Twitch streamers. And every time he died, he'd give, like, first he'd give one sub, and then the second time he died, he'd give two subs, but it'd be three total, and it keeps growing exponentially. And so he's,
yeah, by
like,
the end of the day, he's buying the entire universe.
Well, he showed that, like, if he died 30 times, he would be paying, I think it was, like, 20 or 12,400-something thousand, and he's like, I can't do more, I can't die of that. But then he's like, I'm pretty good at these games, you know, I played them while I was in high school. He's like, I'm sure, he's like, I think I can do it in 10, and everybody's egging him on the chant. So he quit. After 20, he died. Oh, and he was just like, I'm just like, during the video, his bank kept like canceling things because they're like, why are you doing all this money out of nowhere and stuff? And then they kind of keep confirming that he wanted to spend the money. Like, his credit card got denied multiple times. And it's just like, yeah. So yeah, he just does this interesting, like, I mean, there's plenty of streamers out there, of course, and each one has different. And just what catches me about this dude is just his weird challenges he sets up.
All right. So he's doing something a little different.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's kind of fun.
Oh, man. I don't know why that reminds me of, like, I picked up a disc that was, like, 50 Sega games or whatever for, like, the PS2 or something, maybe PS3 back in the day. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play me some Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't beat the first level. Could not beat the first level. I just do not have those reflexes anymore. They are gone.
It's one of those crazy things. Yeah, going back and playing old games. Sometimes you're just getting your ass handed to you, and you're just like, how did 13-year-old me manage this?
We hadn't been beaten down by life yet.
That's it. We still had hopes and dreams.
Dreams of beating the first level. That's what.
Well, anyways, Robert, what about you? You watched a little bit of stuff? Just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Okay, we're gonna run through it. All right. I watched the movie Red Notice.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Really?
Just a fun action movie.
It looks, you know, pretty good.
You've got The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You got the other guy, Ryan Reynolds.
I was about to say the other guy.
Ryan Reynolds. Gail Gadot actually does pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Gail Gadot.
Yeah.
But she did pretty good in this. Anyway, just a fun action movie.
Totally not on subject at all, but the two guys you listed have both been on the cover of this magazine as sexiest man in the world or US. I don't know what they do. But anyways, I think it's Men's Health or People. One of them. Anyway, they both Ryan Reynolds and The Rock have been on there in previous years. And it's like, okay. I mean, for sure, The Rock. I get it. You mean, look at the dude. And Ryan Reynolds, he got some charm to him. I'll give it to him. Do you know, and I like this actor. And I do think he's a decent looking actor, but I'm just not saying. Do you know who's on the cover this year?
Who?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
I like Paul Rudd. I'm not trying to insult Paul Rudd. If you ever hear this, Paul Rudd, you are a fine actor. You have great comedy. You're doing great things. And you're a good-looking guy. but sexiest man?
Yeah, that's probably like, a little...
Like, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to insult you, Paul Rudd, anybody out there. I like him. I mean, he's great as Ant-Man. He is fantastic. He plays that role perfectly. I've liked him in plenty of other things. He is a great actor. He has great comedic taste and timing. He's good. He's a good dude.
Oh, man.
And he's a good-looking man.
They airbrushed the shit out of this.
But sexiest man?
Yeah, that's a bit much. That's a bit much.
I'm not calling him ugly.
He's a good-looking guy, but he is
exactly,
not.
He is a good-looking man. He looks better than me and Robert, probably. I mean, he got that Hollywood going on. So, yeah, he definitely
does. Probably, Donnell.
Yeah, I know. He does. So, he looks better than us. I'm not trying to insult him in any way, shape, or form. But sexiest man. I can't be behind that. I can't get behind that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Paul. I just can't. Anyways, continue, Robert.
Then I checked out the movie Last Night in Soho.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been seeing this going around.
I have seen it. Or I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard of it.
Absolute trash.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely terrible.
Okay.
Acting was fine.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot movie.
Okay.
Interesting music.
Okay.
Just the worst story ever. Mm. Just a terrible story.
I was about to say, you're saying everything sounds good and you're like, terrible movie. Yeah. Like, where does it fall off a cliff?
Incoherent storyline. Mm. Characters that are doing things that make no sense, not doing things they should be.
Yeah.
Basically, the premise is a girl from the English countryside moves to London to go to fashion school, and she ends up staying in a room of this old house and being haunted by these dead people.
Okay.
And it's just bad.
Mm.
It's just bad.
Is it a horror or is it just...
I guess. Hmm. A thrill. I don't know what category you put it into.
Yeah, yeah.
Just some kind of supernatural thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Psychological horror, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. It is the ending was really bad, and it just wasn't that great.
Mm, okay.
I finally watched Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
yeah,
and that was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was super fun.
Yep.
I'll be honest, I thought it was just going to be, let's appease the Chinese, the country. No,
they kind of did that a little bit in the promotion, honestly.
Yeah.
That made, because I could definitely see that too, but it was fun.
But I'm a big fan of Wushu, and it just fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't really get is like, I felt like the first couple of phases of Marvel really kind of tied in very well together.
Yeah.
This was just like, until you got one mention kind of in the beginning.
Yeah.
That the snap happened. And then you get some stuff at the very, 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 very end.
Mm-hmm.
Like post credits.
Yep.
And you're just kind of like, well, I don't really, it just doesn't feel like there's a coherent thing going on. Like, I guess you don't have the soul stones to like tie everything
together. I think also because, and this is one thing, it sounds kind of weird. Like, we have Shang-Chi, we have Eternals, which I haven't seen and I've heard is not
I've not
good.
Seen the Eternals yet.
But I don't think Eternals, I think honestly, until Spider-Man or Doctor Strange, honestly, I honestly feel like the first, so with that thing is with phase one of the Avengers, it was. The storyline was bringing the Avengers together. So it started with the first movie of Iron Man because that's the first Avenger and Captain Nick Fury shows up and stuff. Phase two was about them like basically being a core team but also falling apart. And then phase three was about Thanos. But all those elements were introduced in the beginning of the movies. The problem with phase four is the big storyline and the introduction of it was in... Loki, but the big storyline, even though it's been introduced, the event to really kick it off hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So the movies coming out now don't have anything to tie into because it's not there. Like they only have such a light strand until, like I said, it might be Spider-Man Far From Home, or if not, it's gonna be that's where the whole multiverse stuff can kick in. I think it might actually be Spider-Man because there's a lot of multiverse stuff going on in Spider-Man, so that's probably where it's gonna kick off. But the thing is, any movie be coming out before there has nothing to anchor to.
Yeah,
and that's where the problem is. And I'm just like, yeah, I totally agree with you because yeah, Shang-Chi is like, what's it supposed to, there's no overarching storyline yet. There's nothing. Other than, like I said, a little sprinkle
Loki. They brought that in, with Loki.
I know, but that's still.
Maybe WandaVision a little towards the end there.
Well, WandaVision, I think, ties in a lot to Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. So.
And maybe Hawkeye. which we'll talk about. Yeah, there's an inconsistency in Hawkeye, which raises some questions if it was deliberate.
There's some stuff to talk about.
Yep. Okay, well, we'll get there. Anyway, okay. some more things to go through. I watched the season finale of Foundation. Mm-hmm. Fantastic season. The season finale, I didn't feel was like all that like grandiose. Mm-hmm. There was some grandiose stuff in it, but not overly so.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the next season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they better keep going with it and do the whole story, because it's gonna be great. And if you aren't watching it, it's a really cool sci-fi show.
Yeah.
I watched Let There Be Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't terrible.
No.
It wasn't
great.
It's
not terrible. It's not great. It's kind of the same.
It's a PG Carnage movie.
Yeah.
That
little bit of letdown with that, honestly.
But now he's in the main universe, it seems.
So here's the thing, and I really hope it's that he's in the main universe and not that, because there's all this speculation that this third Spider-Man movie is the last one that Tom Holland is on the record or whatever for, right? And there's all the speculation that after this Spider-Man movie, MCU is going to move on to a new Spider-Man, and Sony's going to sign Tom Holland to be Spider-Man in their universe. And I would, so
that
one
would
is,
too, they're
so,
not going to do
my
that.
My thing is, Sony, A, it does sound like Sony would still then retain the right Spider-Man, and they're just going to keep working with Disney, but also sounds like they're going to try to build their own Spider-Verse. And I just like, no. And so that thing is, when Venom or Tom Hardy or, you know, whatever you want to call him, Eddie Brock shows up, it does look like he's in the MCU.
Yeah.
And I really hope that's what it is. A lot of people say, no, this is how they're going to introduce Spider-Man back into the Spider-Verse and Sony. I'm just like, don't do it. Like I've said this so many times, stop, Sony. Just stop. Stop making movies. You can, or do animate it. You did fine with Into the Spider-Verse. Do that, whatever. But stop trying to make your own thing. Don't sell it to Disney. Never sell it to Disney.
Yeah, lease it.
But just let them do it. Let them have Venom, Carnage, Spider-Man, Mobius, if they want them. I don't know if they will. But any of the villains or heroes you got, just let them do it. Just make money. You don't even have to work that hard. It just makes more sense to me, too. It's like, you don't even have to work that hard. You don't have to do casting. You don't have to do, you probably have to pay a little bit, but still, you don't have to like set up advertising. You don't have to do half the, you give them a little bit of money, and they do all the work, and you get a paycheck.
Yeah.
How is this hard to figure out?
Yeah. But they get all the paycheck if they make their
not
own.
Not if they're not good movies.
Yeah, you know what? I hope they explain like what the trigger was that caused him to shift to a new reality.
It was good. I'm hoping that's going to be something that shows up in Spider-Man the Doctor Strange.
I assume it had something to do with the TVA making a change or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, just a couple more things. Star Trek Discovery. Watch the first episode. It was great. Watch the second episode. It sucked. So I'm probably not going to go back to it. Let's see. I did check out Arcane, as you asked me to. Yep. I watched 3 episodes. I was just not in a point where I could just get into it.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a very visual show.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't play League of Legends, you're absolutely right. It's a fantastic show.
Okay.
Cool. It's great. Great animation, great story, funny in places, cute in places, awesome. Just go watch it.
Yeah. See, I was that's what I was wondering. Is like I said, I came into it. I'm like, I like this. This is good. And I'm like, am I being biased?
Well, so I've never really played League of Legends, but I, you know, it exists within the zeitgeist, the ether of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm like, oh, it's the little scruffy guy, you know, I know that he's in the game. I don't know what his name is or what he does, you know, but you know. Because it's like a prequel, right? It's like a prequel story or something like that.
It's basically telling the story of, I mean, more than just two, but the main two, the two sisters, which I feel like that was retcon too originally, because I don't think they were originally sisters. But don't, you know, League of Legends fans out there, don't at me if you were like, I know more about League of Legends than you because they've always been sisters. I don't think they always were sisters. Maybe they were. But still, the two sisters, Vi and, well, she goes, I forget what her name is, but eventually she goes by Jinx. The pink and blue haired girl, or the pink girl and the blue haired girl. So it's mainly their story, but it also has some of the other characters. And it's just kind of fleshing out backstory, which is something. So, like, I've played League of Legends, and I mean, I'm in my, you know, my downtime, I've thought about it and stuff. But, like, they've put a lot of lore into that game that's kind of interesting. And I was like, I've always said, like, they should like, make a movie or yeah. something. Because there's a lot here that'd be interesting. So the
show's over movies these days, by yeah. the way. If you, especially for something like that where you've got a lot of mm-hmm. characters and whatnot.
Yeah. No, yeah, true. It's definitely more show. But yeah, so yeah, I'm kind of glad they're doing it. And it, yeah, it looks good. So I'm glad that it is actually good entertainment.
And we both checked out The Wheel of Time.
Yes.
Which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very well shot,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think the dialogue is all that stupendous.
There's a lot of times where I'm like, what is going on with this conversation? But I will say, so I have read the book, Wheel of Time.
It's all of them?
No.
Because there's like 20.
The first one, that is all I've read. And also it has been years, like it was back when I was in high school and stuff, but I did like it. I remember I did like it. I don't have much of a favorite
for the audience. For those that don't know, there are 14 books of The Wheel of Time mm-hmm. with an average page count of 800,
mm-hmm.
so it's a lot of book, and there's like four more books that still are yet to be written or something mm-hmm. like that. It is a gigantic universe.
It's insane. But yeah, so I don't remember anything from the book, but I do feel like some of the stuff I've seen like does like stir up memories of kind of what I had read, like just kind of the way the magic is used,
yeah,
and stuff. So I think they're from what I can tell, and I could be wrong. I think they're staying true to the source to the extent that you can, and it's definitely entertaining. Like I said, the writing could be better,
a little generic,
yeah. So the one thing that stood out to me was the, what do I want to call it? Like, and it happens twice. It's not a jump scare because it's not anything scary, but they like to do the shock value kill. Like,
yeah.
When the one dude kills his girlfriend or wife, whoever it was, like totally out of left field.
Yeah.
No idea that was coming. I was like, what the hell?
Or when the one lady gets like the knife
exactly,
to the back of the throat.
I was about to say, like, when the lady suddenly just out of nowhere, like, yeah, they just like to do the shock value kill in this so far. I mean, there's four episodes out. But yeah, and it's already happened twice. I'm like, is that the motif? Just
well, and I don't understand. So like in the first episode, they go to this village and it gets attacked by like one or two dozen mm-hmm. of these Minotaur Trollocs. Yeah, yeah, which were awesome costumes.
Yeah,
or
yeah. I really like the faceless. Also.
They look yeah the faceless,
and that
which is
freaky mouth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's like the mouth of Sauron over mm-hmm. there. and then later on in like the next episode, it shows they've got like an army of like a couple of hundred.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude. Just attack the village with everybody you got.
Mm-hmm,
like, this
mm-hmm.
is not a well-planned attack. And mm-hmm. these aren't just, like, wild animals.
Yeah, but they don't seem that smart either, you know.
Did you
see the...
They seem somewhat organized. They can make weapons.
I mean,
and
yeah,
they have clothing.
They're somewhat organized, but they're very... I wouldn't say they're, like, making huge... Because the scene with the one wisdom chick who, you know, we thought was dead, and then she shows back
yeah.
up. Then when the opening of episode 3, I think it is, they show how she got away. Which, by the way, I'm kind of getting sick of that whole, like, oh, this character's dead.
Yeah.
And now they're not. And here's how it happened. And I was like, no, just show us it in real time or whatever. But anyways, they show that, like, the reason why she got away is because one of the things was injured. And that other one is, like, decides to eat it right then and there. So I'm like, that's not strategy. You got a prisoner that they want. You probably should hang on to her. You shouldn't stop for a bite, especially if it's eating your best friend. So that's where I'm like, they might not be like, they're intelligent, but they're not like same level.
I saw it more like a Klingon thing where it was like, oh, you've been injured in battle. Like, we got to like seppuku you, you know, like we got to like, I will eat of you, brother. And my strength, your strength will be
what
my
I
strength.
Got from it though, because it was screaming pretty loud. And
well,
I don't think it was eaten. I don't think it was on board with being eaten. I think it was like, hey, get me a bandage. And he's like, bandage, huh? Maybe.
How about I just rip out your innards and eat them while you're alive?
Instead of a little bandage, maybe a little bit of mayo or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the city when everything's like going into shadow and
yeah.
dissolving the horses. And I mean, it's cool, but yeah, it is very generic
mm-hmm.
and a little over the top in some places. Like the questioner character,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, this is a bit much.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll keep watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like it so far. I mean, like I said, it's not the best fantasy show I've seen. But it's still, it's there. It's good entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some news for us, Dono?
A little bit of news. A little bit of news coming at for us about something we basically, I mean, we definitely got our eyes on because we love the show it's coming from. So we already talked about that they were looking to recast the Dead Boy Detectives. They have now officially cast them.
Oh, anybody we know?
Not really. So that thing is, there's two, and I'm like, maybe one of them is, there's two things I want to point out because there's two different articles about it. So in one of them, I'm going to read the headlines read a little bit and then I'll show you a picture here. But basically, the headline for one of them is Dead Boy Detectives HBO Max pilot sets main cast. And basically says Dead Boy Detectives pilot at HBO Max has found its main cast, Variety's learned. And we have George Rexdew, Jaden Reverie, and what? Cassius Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There Cassius we go. Nelson.
Last night in Soho. So he was in that, which, you know. We'll star as the three leads. And so those are the things. So that's what that one article says. This other article
says, I hate them already. I want the old people. Old cast back.
So the other article says DC Dead Boy Detectives TV show recast Ghostly Doom Patrol pair. Pair. What?
Okay.
And this article only talks about the two boys.
Yeah, so but that's there's a third person.
That's the one weird discrepancy is in one, they're saying all three have been recast. And the other, they're just saying the two. But the other thing is, but neither one of these articles, and it makes me kind of wonder if maybe they just wanted to write Dorothy out of Doom Patrol because they didn't want to have her in it anymore, and not that they wanted her in the spinoff. Nothing mentions Dorothy.
Interesting.
At all.
Well, I mean, you couldn't. Who could you get to look like? Like, I mean, it would have to be her.
It would have to be her.
I'm like,
so yeah.
This then, cast looks dumb.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking at me. Yeah,
I hate here it they already. Are.
Yeah,
I'm like, go back to Riverdale, people.
I mean,
like
I said, they achieved their goal of what they were trying to do, which is dumb. But they were just saying they wanted to get some minorities and more diversity.
I mean, look, we'll give it a chance.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely
who knows
give it
what
a
they're gonna do, but.
I mean, that's because these are actors, and they obviously got cast for a reason, and hopefully they play the roles well. I just feel like it's one of those things of, why didn't you do this in the first place? Why didn't you cast who you wanted for the show? Why introduce these characters, especially when those got the characters they introduced, or the actors who did it, played it so well? Why introduce these characters with people you weren't planning to use?
Yeah, we need to know the inside baseball.
Yeah.
Of, like, why did they get rid of three perfectly fantastic... Mm-hmm. You know, actors that could have done it. Maybe they just weren't on board. Maybe they just signed up for the pilot.
The one thing that I heard was that they wanted to get more diversity in the cast. It's like, whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I liked those three actors who played originally when the show was first announced and before we knew they were recasting it. I was like, that sounds fantastic.
Speaking of diversity cast, I've completely given up on the 4400.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
It is boring. It's just boring.
It's gone, yeah.
Like right. Like the first, the original, mm-hmm. was just so exciting. There was so much mystery going on, and so much, like, skin in the game for, like, the people who were like, mm-hmm. looking into everything. Like, you know, like, one his son was in a coma, and, like, you know, one of the people that came back was his best friend, the only one who was there that saw what happened. Like,
Yeah,
but that's just, it doesn't seem like any of that's there.
No, it's not. I was excited about it at first, but each episode, I mean, I've only watched, I think they're on episode like 6 or something. I stopped on episode 4, so.
Yeah, that's where I stopped.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's just,
maybe it'll get to the end of the season and I'll like take a look at it and see if maybe it did something, but.
Let's see what happens with it. It's meh.
But anyway, Dead Boy Detectives, do we have a date on that?
We don't have a date. I'm assuming because I just got the cast set.
They haven't even started filming yet. Sometime next year.
Yeah, I was gonna say late next year, maybe not even to 2023. Honestly.
I wonder if it's going to be in a different universe or if it's going to be, if we're going to have some Doom Patrol crossover.
I feel like it's going to be a different universe because of the recast.
Yeah.
Because if they did crossover later, I mean, Doom Patrol is the show that would point out, like, well, this is weird that you're different people. But still, like, it just would be weird to suddenly be like, hey, it's the Dead Boy Detectives again. And be like, but these aren't.
It's the Doom Patrol universe. You can
That's what I'm saying
hand is, wave anything.
Yeah.
It's like we're dead people. Shit happens, get over it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so also one thing that of note, this isn't a huge thing, but the girl who didn't exist before Doom Patrol, has it, like, they never say this in Doom Patrol, and I guess this is something that will come up in the show as it goes, has a name, apparently because her power thing and being able to have spirits inside of her, it goes by Palace as a nickname, which I just thought was weird.
Interesting.
They referenced her multiple times as Palace. Like, who the hell is Palace? And I was like, looking up, like, oh, they're just talking about the girl. But anyways, yeah. So
that's a stripper name.
But yeah, should be interesting. Yeah.
Excellent.
We'll see what happens.
Well, after this short break, we'll be back to talk about Hawkeye.
Yes, we will.
Hello, everybody. This is Eric Donaldson, the host of the illustrious Hard Mark podcast, a comedy show where I introduce one professional wrestling match per episode to my co-host, who's never watched wrestling before. For pro wrestling enthusiasts, you can relive famous and infamous moments from the past through the lens of a non-fan. And for anyone unfamiliar with the surreal world of pro grappling, enjoy the window into the strange but lovable mind of my co-host Ryan as he unintentionally destroys my childhood while also debating proper face washing technique, fear of raccoons, getting hit by cars, and plenty of other ridiculous topics outside of wrestling. So check out the Hard Mark Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows, and follow us on Instagram at Hard Mark Podcast to keep up with news, clips, and shenanigans too. Thanks, everybody.
Hello, I'm Kai Bobby, co-host of the Rotten Treasure Podcast, where I talk with my friend Jim O'Donnell and a special guest about movie franchises that arguably went on a little longer than they should have. Hey, Jim. What movies do we review?
Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Home Alone 3, Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House,
Home Alone, Holiday Heist. We review more than just Home Alone movies.
Tremors, Tremors 2, Aftershocks.
Do we have any guests? Do we have guests, Jim?
Scott Campbell, Robert and Donnell from Watching It, Sarah Carter.
Okay, how do people find us on the internet, Jim?
Follow us at Rotten_Treasure on Instagram, at Rotten Treasure on Twitter, Rotten Treasure on Facebook.
Okay, all right. You know what? That's enough of your list. So, folks, if you still want to find us, you can listen to us on your preferred podcast app, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Podbean.com, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, not SoundCloud.
We're recording?
Welcome back. Let's talk about Hawkeye, which came out this week. Two episodes, which was odd because I expect three now.
I know.
Or one.
It's like,
or the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's one, three, or everything. None of this two episode stuff. No, actually, for me, two episodes was nice because it's a lot easier to do two episodes. Like, we talked about doing Wheel of Time, and I'm glad we're not, especially with it being the week after, because we had to cover four episodes at once.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, two episodes is manageable. We did Stargirl and Doom Patrol. Those are both hour long shows at the same time. We can do two episodes of Hawkeye. But three, that's a little much. Need a separate episode for those sort of things.
All right. So let's start with episode one. Mm. Starts out, as it seems all Marvel does now, mm-hmm. with the 2012 Battle of New York.
Yeah, they love going back here. So here's my thing. So in this scene, basically, little girl, you know, here's her parents fighting about their house or whatever.
They're fighting about money.
Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, mom comes and they're gonna play. Or what dad first tells her, comes up to her room and says, hey, don't be mad at your mom. Anyways, I'll be downstairs in my office. Then mom is in there and they're going to play checker. And she says, hey, I'll be right up. I'm downstairs. So she goes upstairs and starts setting up the game. The attack starts. And the thing that I just wondered is the little girl runs out of the room calling for her parents. And she knows both of them told her we're downstairs. Why does she run across the hall and look for them? I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
downstairs. But the other side of the coin is also, I mean, I know not everybody has great parents, but they seem to be attentive parents. Where the hell were they? Like,
yeah.
If a bomb goes off near my house and I have kids, the first thing I'm doing is running to my kids.
Look, I'm pretty sure. I don't think that we know for sure yet, but one of two things happened. That caused that. One, either the mom was busy killing the dad which is entirely possible. Okay,
yeah, no, that would explain, yeah.
Because they did not seem to like each other very much.
No, no. Her at that freaking, the next scene when at the funeral, yeah. She does not seem that mournful. But anyways.
Or going into a little spoiler out of show territory, in the comic books, he fakes his death. I don't know why. One would assume it life insurance money or something so they can save their glorious apartment.
And mom is helping him fake his death? What, right there?
Possibly.
That little girl is, I mean, not a lot of time, but she's running around the house calling for her parents. And like, the first bomb goes off and it's outside. It hasn't damaged the building yet. Yeah. So I'm like, no, you can't be like, oh, dad's trapped underneath some rubble. Mom's trying to help him. I'm like, no, nothing's happened yet. So I'm like, why is this little girl running around her house calling for her parents and nobody's responding? I'm like, bomb going off near your house.
Yeah.
If bomb goes off near my house currently, and they're not even, I'm getting my cat and my dog, like, and they're not even a kid. They're not even a human being. Like, come on, it's a little girl.
I don't know. I think the mom would have preferred that she died. I didn't even get, like, that. I don't think, is she really her mom or stepmom?
I mean, I think she's her mom. Seems to be.
Okay. It just didn't seem like, why does she hate her so much? You know, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, but can we talk about, okay, so I said at the beginning, if you're a rich white girl from lower New York, your dreams could come true. And yeah. I'm like, this is an affluent family. You know how I know they're affluent? Because they're having lunch and all they do is eat 3 carrots from 2 plates of food before they say, get the checkers.
You just got money to throw around at that point.
And I don't even know if there were 3 carrots eaten. I only know that the mom ate 2 carrots, 2 pieces of carrot, and the little girl was chewing on something, and there was no bites taken out of her sandwich. This is why she hates her mom. It's because she keeps trying to feed her, and then as soon as she gets a plate on the table, takes a couple of bites, she's like, nah, you'll get fat. Like,
I don't know. She seemed happy to play checkers.
But she's...
So... Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say that the side... blows out of the penthouse.
Yeah.
And she sees Stark Tower.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what a view. What if I would sue Stark if that was the view I had to deal
with. Yeah, it just builds that into the way. Yeah.
So this is where it gets weird. This is where it gets weird. And we don't know if this was purposefully done or accidental, but it seems unlikely that it would be accidental. The wrong letters are off the tower. In the movie... the K falls off first.
Okay.
And in this, the R is gone. Why?
Maybe.
Or is this an alternate reality? Has time been changed significantly? Like, or is that just a mistake they made?
I mean,
which doesn't seem like it'd be a mistake they would
make.
It's
one of those things that you could say maybe this is alternate reality where things happen the same as our reality, except for same. Because the fact that Hawkeye had the same memories as the Hawkeye, because we get a couple flashbacks of him as Ronin, a couple flashbacks.
Well, I mean, it's split. So, you know, there could be multiple realities where he took mostly the same trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be something like that.
But you see Hawkeye do his cool thing where he shoots arrows and then swings off the building, and she's like, "I'm in love."
Everybody, I gotta say it. So Hawkeye, I just gotta say it. Everybody knows my feeling about Hawkeye and Black Widow. I've talked about it many times. In my book, they're sidekicks, not superheroes and stuff. And honestly, still.
Not sidekicks, support.
Support. And honestly, out of the two of them, Hawkeye's even a little bit less. I hate to say it. Especially after, like, I feel like What If did Hawkeye wrong for one reason. The fact that Black Widow was able to pull off that almost impossible shot, showing that she is just as skilled as Hawkeye. And like, well, if she can do everything Hawkeye can do plus more because he's a better spy and a better hand-to-hand combat, it's like, that was his one thing he had was, well, I can shoot a bow really good. And apparently Black Widow is just as good. She just waited for him to be dead to show him. She's like, I don't want to show him up. So she let him die. And he's like, okay, now I can. But still, anyway, so like, I really what it sounds like. So they're presenting the only way that someone makes Hawkeye their favorite Avenger is that he literally saved her life. Because I'm like, dude, when you got Captain America, Thor, you got the Hulk, eventually you got people like Captain Marvel, Ant-Man. If you pick Hawkeye as your favorite Avenger, I'm like, come on. Come on. Like, and that's one thing this episode, and maybe this is parallel universe, one thing these two episodes, there's so many people like, Hawkeye, you're my favorite. Like, who are you people?
Well, I think that's probably what they do to all of them.
Yeah.
They're like, okay. Oh, Banner, you're my favorite. You know,
okay, because I'm just like, come on.
You know, we didn't mention that. Can we step back to Shang-Chi?
Right,
in that, the kind of mid-credits scene?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he Professor Hulk?
Longer
What's
smart
the story
Hulk?
There?
Yeah,
I guess we'll get more. We'll probably get more on that with She-Hulk when that comes out.
Probably. So he sees Hawkeye, and that's kind of what, you know, put your on our path. We get to see that mom. Like I said, I kind of agree with you that mom might have been murdering dad because, like, yeah, at that funeral, way too happy.
Yeah.
Like, just like, I got the best little girl. I'm like, I get that you're trying
I'm not going to have to give up the house.
Get that you're trying to comfort your daughter, but also, like, he's a little too happy.
That's all I need to know more. Like, I really wish I'd known, like, okay, how are they have the kind of money to get a place like that in New York? Because that's like $100 million or something.
I mean, which we don't know if they had this before or if he was a part of it or not, but we do see in, you know, later on in the future that her mom is the head of a, like, one of the world's top security firms.
Yeah.
So maybe they were already doing that sort of work.
I don't know. Yeah. And like, why were they having money problems? Like, I just wanted a little more context.
Yeah.
You know, more than some sage fatherly advice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you give me, exchange that scene for a little more backstory on the money problems.
Yeah.
I need details.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to, never mind. I'm not going to say that till later.
So anyways, so we kick into the opening credits.
Which was great.
Yeah, opening credits are good. I actually really like that art style they're doing with that. And also like the ending
credits. We should say, so this is, this show is based off the comic book, My Life is a Weapon.
Okay.
Where Hawkeye meets Kate Bishop.
Right.
Okay. We should also say that obviously Jeremy Renner plays Hawkeye.
What?
Yeah. And Hailee Steinfeld
plays
Kate Bishop,
mm-hmm.
who is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love her.
I think something is her. I don't like the Kate Bishop character.
Really?
No, I'm not really a fan of
like her playing it or
no. The character.
Gotcha.
Kate Bishop. I think she's probably fine. But I don't like the Kate Bishop character. Just a lot of her manner, like she's, I don't know. We'll get into it a little bit later.
From what I can tell, she's definitely playing the character from the comic books.
Okay.
Where she's very much like gung ho, like I can do anything.
Yeah.
Takes a little bit more risk.
Yeah. That opening credits, the one thing I just put this out there because, you know, it's a gripe I had with Stargirl, and I love this about this Hawkeye, is that opening credits showed that she was, like, training all her life, martial arts, fencing, gymnastics, and all stuff. So when she one day turns up and decides to be a superhero, it's not jarring, unlike Stargirl, where she's just like, I found a staff, and now I can be a superhero. Like I said, I know.
Who just happened to be a gymnast and karate champion.
I know I've talked about it over there when we were talking about Stargirl, but I just, the opening credits, like, see, this is how you show me that this is why she suddenly can be a hero. It's like, she's been doing martial arts since she was a kid, fencing, gymnastics, like, she knows. She's in great shape, and she knows this stuff. So I was like, and also archery. That's what I was about to say. There was another thing, archery. So she's been doing all this stuff. She's been training all her life for this moment. So when the moment arises for her to become a hero, it's not like, how is she doing this? It's like, no, it makes sense.
which is a great way to tell that story, to do the montage of all her training and stuff during the opening credits.
Yep.
And in the next episode, the opening credits is just the logo.
Yep.
Instead of going through a whole thing, which is awesome. But can we talk about, so I check for after credit scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that WandaVision did some interesting stuff, and so did Loki.
Yep.
With their end credits. These are just black.
Yeah.
Nothing going on.
Except in episode 2.
Well, a little bit of stuff, but
I
nothing.
I like that end credit scene, or not end credit, those credits at the end there.
Okay. Well, if you got something for that.
Two.
But no end credits. Okay. I need rules now. We need rules.
Yeah.
We need the Screen Actors Guild to step in and say, you're going to have an end credit scene or you're not going to have an end credit scene. Because Shang-Chi,
they just need to,
I'm like, oh, what, we got it. We got sort of like before the credit scene and a mid credit scene and an after credit scene. But some of the recent movies didn't have end credit scenes.
I feel like I need to know
whether I'm waiting or
not. I feel like they need it, like, there just should be something that tells you, like, even if it's just like bottom right corner of the screen, a little light comes on or something. It's like, give me some sort of heads up. Because, when its credits are long now, I mean, really long and stuff. Though, I will say, I look at the time, Hawkeye has the shortest of all of Marvel's shows credit scenes. They're clocking in about 4.5 minutes. And
yeah,
I was about to say, WandaVision and Loki both were about 8. Because I remember watching...
WandaVision had so much cast, though.
I remember... But I remember watching WandaVision, and I would, you know, hit pause when around near the end of the episode. I'm like, ooh, sweet, there's still 12 minutes
yeah,
left.
Yeah.
And then it would go off, and I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, there's 8 minutes of freaking credit. And I actually had the moment with Hawkeye, actually, where I hit pause, and I saw... There was, I think it was like 10 minutes left. I was like, that means there's only 2 minutes left. That's what I thought. And I was like, no, there's only, I mean, there was still wasn't short, but it was only, there. I had another whole 6 minutes because it's a lot, like I said, it's just, yeah, shorter credits, still long, but shorter than any other Marvel show so far.
So it opens up with her. She is trying to break into some kind of church or building of some sort.
I think it's just her college. Yeah. She's on her college campus. Yeah. So
she's trying to break
just
into
trying to get
building,
on the roof. Yeah.
And she can't pick the lock.
Yes.
Though she
needs to work on those skills.
Easily picks the lock later on in the show. I feel like she would already know when she's breaking into the aunt's house. And she picks the lock to get in there.
Oh, okay. I thought Hawkeye picked a lock, but maybe I'm thinking something wrong.
But I'm just like, I feel like she would have this skill down.
Yeah. Yeah. I already put that down. I was like, what? Like, she needs work on lock picking skills. If you're, yeah, you're going to be.
I mean, look, she's just doing like a standard tool set on a standard lock, you know, key lock. And I'm just like, dude, anybody can master that skill in a week just watching YouTube.
Yep.
And order a kit for $7. Like, she should know how to do it instantly.
So then this bell suiting scene happens, and the whole thing, there's so much with this scene that just is so wrong in my mind. It's like, one is like, her friend's like, how do you know that won't damage the bell? And she's like, I don't. And then she shoots the arrow, and I'm like,
Yeah.
But why? And then also the...
Well, I didn't understand like what the goal, like, yeah, what, well, there was like a bet or a dare
bet that she
or
could like ring the bell. And my thing's like, okay, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be this guy, but, you're hitting a bell in the middle of night when there's nobody around. I was like, what's your game plan for getting away with this?
Yeah,
like,
she didn't really have an escape plan.
Oh, and then also the other thing where she's like, the fact that she's, I mean, we don't know what her school curricular, you know, so you know her extracurricular is great with all this stuff. Maybe she's not that great in school because the part where she's like, I don't know how a bell works. I'm like, you don't know how a bell works? It's a bell, the little thing inside.
No. But some bells, when you pull the rope, it swings the bell.
But it's all mechanically the same thing of the little thing inside hitting the outside makes the noise. So either A, like I said, one is you're never ever with an arrow and a tennis ball going to move a bell that big. Yeah. So if you think that you need to move the bell and you're up there, you're an idiot because there's no way. Even if the Hulk fired because of the mass of the thing, there's no way you're rocking that bell and stuff. And so that's one thing. But and another thing is when the building starts to fall apart, I'm just like, at the end of the day, honestly, if we're being 100% honest, this school should be thanking her. Because if it was that weak and fragile that it ringing caused the whole tower to collapse, like, hey, at least right now it's the middle of the night, nobody's there. If, like I said, it's that weak and fragile, that was a freaking insurance case waiting to happen. Yeah. What if classes are going on?
That was a national tragedy waiting to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know what, school, you kind of lucked out. Like, that arrow should not have dropped. That means it was so decrepit and old.
Well, honestly, that arrow should not have had enough strength to get it to ring, what, 6 times?
Yeah.
At much less once.
Yeah.
For that matter.
I'm wondering, though, because he had that, and she also brings it up a little bit later, because she has, what is it? She had, like, I mean, even though it wasn't fancy, she had the, you know, the arrow with the ball on it, and then she had the ball with a little grabbers on it, right? And a little bit later she brings up trick arrows and Hawkeye says no. So one thing is Hawkeye, his equivalent in DC is Green Arrow and stuff, and one thing that separated him for so long and then later on and Hawkeye started to adapt it was Hawkeye was like the serious archer, you know, bow and arrow and doing that sort of stuff, and Green Arrow was a dude with like the punching glove on the arrow and that sort of stuff. But eventually, I'm not sure what it was, but Marvel started to adopt, not as kooky, but trick arrows into Hawkeye's persona. Like, they started adding that sort of stuff into his persona a little bit. And so I'm wondering if C, because I think is so far the Hawkeye we've had has been straight lace Hawkeye. I'm wondering if C's gonna start bringing in a little bit of Green Arrow Hawkeye, where we might get some kooky weird arrows or some stuff, because that's one thing that our MCU Hawkeye has never done. He's just been a bow and arrow dude, which is how Hawkeye originally started out.
Well, I mean, he has some fancy arrows,
like a one with a rope on, nothing Nothing like, oh, look at not a put, not a boxing glove on an arrow, Robert. Okay,
obviously one they can, you can shoot at Ultron and download him, download a virus in the USB arrow.
Yeah, I gotta have your USB arrow. You never know when that's gonna come in handy.
All right, so fast forward. Mm-hmm. It's Christmas time. The Rogers musical. Everyone is so excited about the Rogers musical. They've released a song on iTunes.
Really?
Yeah, of that the Save New York song. Because
all I thought from that is I was like, this is a terrible musical. No one would ever want to go see this musical. The fact that it's sold out, I mean, I guess it's just you're paying homage or thanks that they saved the world. But
well, so what the from what I read, it's like a 3-act play. Mm-hmm. So it would be basically like him and during World War II.
Yeah.
And then the Battle of New York.
Yeah.
And then him fighting Thanos.
Mm-hmm. I feel like also making Rogers the musical kind of like a big middle finger to everybody else.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Where's Stark the musical?
Yeah. Where's Stark? I mean, especially since, yes. I mean, that's one question you have to ask about this universe. And maybe all the Avengers are just saying that he died also along with Tony Stark, even though there's no body and no ceremony. So that's crazy. Because the thing is, like, everyone knows Tony Stark sacrificed himself for everyone. Because of the way they wrote, and once again, it's my gripe about Captain America's ending, but because of the way they did Captain America, it's like, how do you explain where the hell Steve Rogers is?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? What do you
doing moon stuff.
There you go, doing moon stuff. Because I'm about to say, if you say
he's still haven't found out about moon stuff.
Yeah, but I was gonna say because they like they could say he's dead, but like I said, there's no body. They never had any funeral or service or anything, so it's kind of weird for a hero that big. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I just feel like hey, everybody helped fight Daniel, so making Rogers the musical, I'd just be a little especially if I was any of the alive heroes. Like, hold on. I was there too. I did some stuff.
So I love the addition of him having a hearing aid now.
Yeah.
And like later on in the next episode, they show that it's because he's been so many explosions and through so many windows and like his hearing's just gone. And I'm like, there needs to be consequences.
Real quick, especially for the normal heroes without special powers, shoot your powers. But anyways, what is it? Real quick, back to the cat or the play. They bring it, he points out, he's like, no, who wasn't there? That guy. And he points to Ant-Man. And the thing that I found interesting is the dude who's dressed up as Ant-Man, his costume, and I don't think this is on purpose, but his costume looked a lot more like the Atom from DC's universe and not like Ant-Man's costume. So I was like, what's up with that?
Even Well, the Hawkeye costume was like the traditional purple costume, which is not what he was wearing.
It's comic book thing. My thing was like, it was more of Adam from DC than Ant-Man from Marvel, which I just thought was weird. But anyways, moving along.
Oh, did you notice when he goes to the bathroom that there's some graffiti on there that says Thanos was right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
That would have to be that would sting. I wrote this down later, but I just wanted to realize Hawkeye has the worst luck. Because I was just thinking about it. So Thanos does the snap.
Yeah.
It kills half the universe.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a 50-50 chance and he lost all four members of his family.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, the other side of that coin is, sir, he has them back now, but the only way to get back his family, which is a great sacrifice and stuff, but so the only way to get back his family was to let his best friend sacrifice. Like, I'm like, you can't win. Yeah. You can't win. It's just like, I was like, oh, the snap happens. 50% chance. Nope. Whole family's gone. Cool. You can get them back, but we're taking your best friend away from you forever. You're just like, my life fucking sucks. Like, I'm just like, I know a lot of people suffered, but I'm just like, it really sucks for Hawkeye.
Yeah, this first half of the episode just should be him in therapy. Hopefully the same therapist that Bucky Barnes was seeing.
Yeah. So we get introduced to Jack, how do we say his last name? Jack?
I do not know how to say this. Oh, my God.
So the one thing I just wrote down.
So it's Tony Dalton.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to spell the last name. Duquesne. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he is the swordsman mm-hmm. from the comic books.
Yep.
And in the comic books, he was the original trainer of Hawkeye, but I don't think they're going to go that way with it in this one.
So he's a villain and a hero at different times, but they definitely seem to be leaning into his villain side. And maybe that will be the curve, is he will never be a villain. Because my thing is, giving him that mustache.
Yeah.
It is like the perfect evil twirly mustache of a villain. I'm like, you can't make a man more villainous.
You better twirl it by the end.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's just the 100%. You're twirling your mustache as you laugh evilly. So I'm just like, come on. Like, that's a huge, like, you see any man in real life with that mustache, like, oh, that dude's up to some shit. He's not good. Like, I'm sorry.
So we get a brief scene where she goes to see her mother, who's kind of mad, but not really, that she's going to have to pay for the clock tower.
Apparently, when you're made of, I mean, she says, you know.
Yeah, this is some affluent shit.
Yeah,
right,
see, I mean, her mom literally says to her, is like, you know, young people think they're invincible, and rich people think you're invincible, and you're both. I'm like, ooh, nail on the head there, Bob.
Yeah, affluenza.
Like, yeah, just 100%. And see, I mean, as you can see, a little bit near the end seems kind of remorseful, but for the most part, she's kind of like joking it off, too. I'm just like, so you just don't care. You just living that.
Yeah, she's not getting grounded or anything. Oh, they take away the credit cards.
Taking away the credit cards.
And by the way, why doesn't Kate Bishop, wanting to be vigilante superhero, not have a bag of money somewhere? Like, those credit cards should not hinder her buying power very much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes and no. Maybe she only has credit cards and she doesn't get money.
Fair enough. Like,
you know, her parents, to keep her on a leash to some degree. But also, just tying back into a theme that I've brought up many times of parents of heroes just not being good, just totally just springing on your daughter that you're engaged and getting married. You can't let her know, can't give her a call, can't.
So I'm not sure where she's going to school. It looked like maybe Harvard,
okay,
or something, which is, you know, 3-4 hours outside of New York.
Yeah,
you know, I've driven it. But she works at her mother's office in New York?
I think when she's not, it doesn't make any sense, maybe?
But she hasn't been home all the whole semester while working at that? Didn't notice the swords and the guy, and she obviously knows the guy.
She knows the guy, but didn't know they were together, I didn't know that they're engaged.
And she seems
weird.
Very upset about it. I'm like, okay, is there a backstory between
her and
this
guy? I'm hoping
guy?
There's more, because I just wonder, like, I hate when they do the instant disgust for someone,
yeah,
but don't give you anything. So
I mean,
I'm
this really just
more.
Seems like a shitty mom with a shitty boyfriend, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
She should be ambivalent to the situation, not upset
or,
about
honestly,
it. Until
maybe,
later, obviously.
Maybe
but.
A little exciting. It's like, oh, maybe mom will not be so focused on me anymore. But, real quick, because you brought it up already, I just want to bring it up. So, jumping real quick forward to the scene where she brings the dog home, and she opens her fridge and be like, oh, here's some pizza. I'm like, how old is that pizza?
Yeah.
Because, like, she hasn't been back all semester, and she just got home, and it was a half already eaten. So, it's like, she didn't get that pizza tonight. So, anyway, that's besides
I don't know why that reminds me. That reminds me of a scene from have you ever seen the movie Gung Ho?
No.
It is Michael Keaton.
Okay.
And he is like the head guy of a labor union. And there's like a small town where they're making cars, and it's getting shut down, and he goes to Japan to try and get Japan to buy the car company and revitalize the town. But he comes back from his Japan meeting, and so he's been in Japan for like a week. And he comes back, and they're driving through the little town, and he's like, oh, when did the pizza place close down? She's like, oh, 3 days ago. And then the next scene, he's eating pizza. Anyway, we get a brief scene, which I don't really care about, with Hawkeye and his family, other than the fact that he's embarrassed that they're wanting to pay for his meal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't seem like you're rich, man, which he should be rich.
Yeah.
He's got a big farm.
He doesn't have a big farm.
He's got to have a bag of money
he
somewhere.
Probably. I feel like, I mean, he's not like filthy rich, but I feel like Hawkeye's not struggling.
Yeah.
I feel like
he'd be a millionaire at least.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, otherwise, you know, just take the free dinners,
man. Yeah. I mean, so that's the thing is, like I said, I make fun of Hawkeye a lot and people saying he's their favorite. But on the other side of the coin, it's like, even if you are support, you were part of the team that saved the world multiple times.
Yeah.
A little bit later, because I just, you know, once again, jumping ahead, this is actually episode 2, but when we get to the LARPing, and the lady is like, hey, it's like, I know who you are. Yeah. Like, this sentence makes no sense to me. She's like, I know who you are, but these are cops and firefighters, and if you mess with the rules, they'll get upset. I'm like, so I'm going to stop right there. If you know who he is, like I said, if she said, I don't know who you are, I'd be fine with this. But they're like, you know he's Hawkeye. You know he's the guy who helped multiple times save the world. I think cops and firefighters have the utmost respect for Hawkeye. Yeah. And if he walked in the middle of their LARPing event and said, hey, cut it out, I need to talk to you, they would all drop what they were doing instantly and be like, what's up? Like, I was just like, that sentence makes no sense. Especially, like, if they were normal people, maybe they won't care. But, like, these are cops and firefighters. They are the, as we say in, you know, real life heroes in our world, as we people would put it sometimes, you know, the people, you know, with 9/11, that sort of stuff, like you look to them. And so these are events on that level, except worldwide. And honestly, life ending, like you in the world stuff. And Hawkeye's one of the people who helped stop it. I'm pretty sure that they would all be like, oh my God, it's Hawkeye. We'll put down our dumb little sword. Yeah. And stuff. So that scene was just like, excuse me, lady. But anyways, back to here.
Anyway, so she's at this high society party, and she's so edgy and rogue. She's wearing a black men's suit, you know.
But I love that, like, literally one of the staff walks past and I'm like, get back to work. And I'm like, yes.
Hey, she did look like she was
100%. Like, I don't, like, she 100% is like, yeah, you're definitely one of the servers.
But she has a brief kind of high society palace intrigue banter with Armand the Third, and
meets Armand the Seventh.
So it took me a minute to figure out that Armand was the uncle of Jack,
not till later.
And I'm like, why does she hate her mother so much?
Yeah, I figure there's something that's gonna come forward. But yeah, no, he makes it very clear that he is not a fan of her mother. And I think he's talking to her daughter about it, too, because, like, when she's like, it's like, well, I guess, what is it, like, he got the dream or something, and it's like, I don't know, I'm not sure. And that's what he says, and then it's like, I tried to talk him out of it. Like, he does not like her mother. I don't know, maybe Armand has a rival security coming, I don't know.
Maybe. She meets the dog.
Well,
or the one-eyed dog.
Yeah, so,
which I'm like, did they tape that, glue that dog's eye shut, or did they just happen to find a one-eyed dog that looks exactly like the one from the comics? Because that's weird.
It's weird. Pretty sure that they didn't tape a dog that I set, Robert.
I don't know, man.
I mean, Disney is a messed up company, but they also,
like,
got a reputation.
Look, when you're in Hollywood and you got to bring an animal, it's a whole ordeal.
Yeah, right.
You got to bring the trainer in, blah, 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 right? You don't just go grab a dog off the street.
True.
And do you think that, like, the movie dogs, there's a whole lot of one-eyed dogs wandering around in that industry?
I mean...
There are questions to be answered here. Where is PETA? They took a regular dog that was trained, and they took its eye out. That's why I've decided.
Okay. I mean, Disney is a pretty messed up company, so who knows?
They could do anything.
Yep.
Get away with it.
But yeah, so then she comes back, sees once again Armand giving it to her mother, and
that
decides to follow.
That sounded wrong.
Only because of you wanted to picture it that way.
Okay.
No. But fine. Fighting with her mother.
There we go. Much better.
But anyways, and she decides to follow him. And this is where it pays off to look like the staff. But the scene, so she follows him to this auction. And I have to say, I believe that the manager man, Gary, may be the dumbest man on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Because... So while she's down there, one of the staff calls her out, being like, why aren't you working? I'm the only one supposed to be working down here. And she says, Gary sent me down here. So he goes and gets Gary. And she, you know, bumbles her way and then through a explanation and then, like, runs off. And the scene literally shows her come around a corner. And it's kind of a hallway. And then there's an offshoot over here. And she comes around the corner and there's a dude coming up the hallway.
Yeah.
And she goes off to the offshoot. Gary, it's not like 5 minutes later. It's literally like 2 seconds after she ducks into the hallway. Gary comes around the corner and goes, and it can clearly see there's a man who isn't her walking towards him. And there's a straight hallway and a left alcove. And he goes, where'd she go? And I'm like, probably down the left alcove, since there's a man standing right there who's not her. And I'm just, but Gary just completely loses her. In 2 seconds, Gary's just like, I don't know where she went. I don't know. I'm like, There's only two options, and one of them has a man standing in it.
It's because she's like a shade. She's a super spy.
Like, whoever hired Gary needs to fire him immediately.
All right, so one of the items they're auctioning off is the Ronin sword,
yep,
which Hawkeye used when he was being all edgy, mm-hmm, you know, between the snap and the return.
Yeah.
Do you have any theories on how this blade works that's like four times longer than the hilt?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously has to collapse into itself, but my thing is like, how does the stability work when it, if it's strong, if it can collapse into itself like that?
Well, the two leading theories, I think, are nanotech. Could be Stark nanotech.
Okay.
Or Pym particles, possibly.
I'm going to say...
Pym particles are a little...
I'm going to say there's not a chance in hell it's Pym particles. Like, those things are so rare, and they're not a bunch of... You're not just giving it out so Hawkeye can have a fancy collapsible sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'll give you Stark technology with nanotech. I'm saying there's no way in hell it's Pym particles. That's like someone, I don't know. It's just like taking one of the most extremely rare resources in the world and be like, hey, I made a toy, you know, a toy bait yo-yo. I'm like, what? But my question though, because last time we saw Hawkeye as Ronin, he was in Japan killing a bunch of people, and Black Widow came and found him. And
yeah. Say,
hey, you need to cut it out. We might be able to save the world. Yada, yada. Right? How did he lose the costume? He had it last time. And I imagine when he stopped being Ronin, you don't just leave it on a park somewhere.
So my understanding is all these items were recovered from the wreckage of the Avengers compound.
Okay.
And I'm like, why would you take the Ronin sword and suit to the Avengers compound?
Yeah.
Burn them. Destroy them.
Yeah.
Bury them somewhere.
Bury them on your farm.
They don't take them back to the superheroes, or that somebody can find it and be like, hey, you killed like a shit ton of people. You're off the team.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, this isn't DC and Batman. The Avengers have done a lot of killing already. So part of me is like, would they even be upset if they found out he was Ronin? I'd just be like, oh, cool. You changed your persona. All right. Talk to you later. Like, Avengers don't. I've never been ashamed or bashful about killing people. So my thing is like, yeah,
but there's a difference between hunting them down specifically to do that
true.
Defending yourself. Anyway, we get the tracksuit mafia.
Yes.
Decides to bust in.
So, and it, once again, this, you know, because these are one of Hawkeye's known villains. I'm like, look at that, this is your level of villain. Like everybody else talking about, you know, Iron Man has, you know, accidental.
Well, they're not like Rogues Gallery level, you know.
But and also, so interesting enough, for whatever reason, I've read to see if they are vampires, I think they're not. Because for whatever reason, in the comics, Hawkeye names them the Tracksuit Draculas.
Huh.
Don't know why.
That's interesting.
They're not vampires.
Interesting.
But anyways.
Well, there are going to be vampires later on when Blade comes into the picture.
Yes.
They're going to make it weird.
Mm-hmm.
But they're after this watch.
Yes, they are.
And we never get to find out what's special about this watch.
No, I'm sure. I mean, we're only two episodes in, Robert. We got eight more. I'm sure.
And I couldn't tell, like, what happened to it. Did the dog grab it?
The dog grabbed it. And so
I know he attacked the guy who was looking at the watch, and it looked like the guy dropped the watch, but I never saw the dog grab it.
I remember seeing that the dog grabbed it, but maybe not. But I will say, Disney taking some risks there, because showing a man kicking a dog on TV, that angers a lot of people.
Well, look, they already ripped this dog's eye out of its socket, okay? What's kicking it going to do?
So this is one of those things, like, I get it, it's movie magic and all this stuff, but like I said, the tracksuit mafia shows up, crash the oxen to get this watch, start hoarding people around, and C decides to don the Ronin costume to fight them. And my only thing is, like, I get it, movie magic, you don't want to show the back process, but the Ronin costume is like, it's very tight fitted and leather and zippers, and I'm like, how'd she get that on so quick? And
yeah,
nobody
just
noticed
fit her.
Her
perfectly.
Yeah, I'm just like, how'd she get that on so quick? There she can be ready to fight these guys.
But yeah, she fights in that. But by the way, her phone is not ringing off the hook from her caring mother wanting to know. Like,
Like, even if, like, so see, her mother, they
no
saw her mother
message, like, running hey, I made out. It out okay.
That's what I'm gonna say. So they saw her mother running out of the oxen, and then she meets up with Jack eventually. And my thing is, okay, fine. Maybe in the heat of the moment, in the panic, you don't. I mean, you already saw that her mother doesn't rush to her daughter's aid when there's a bomb going off near the building. But still, maybe. But the fact that, like, it's not till way later that night, does she finally get a hold of her daughter? And I'm just like, what?
Yeah. So she goes for some reason to Armand's place.
See, I'm glad you thought. The jump of logic that she does, especially where she's like, Armand, do you think he has something to do with? Like, see, she sees Armand arguing with her mother. And knows that they have some bad blood. But then she instantly jumps to, he had something to do with the robbery. I better go to his place to find him. I'm like, what? Especially when she saw the tracksuit mafia was threatening him when they were, like, literally, she had to knee one of them in the head because he was about to, like, I'm like, you know who I am, as rich people say.
by the way, rich people like this, they would be in the hospital making sure everything was okay for days.
Yeah.
They were not. They got bombed and attacked. Mm-hmm. Like, they would not be home that night.
But it's just this weird jump of logic where she's like, "I bet your Armand had something to do with the robbery." I'm like, "Where did you get that idea from?" Like, and we find out that he did not, because he is very much dead.
So I would like to. So that there's a little change I would make in this episode. And so the maid comes and finds his body, and she, like, screams. Yeah. I'd be like, it would have been fun if she was just, like, a little giddy.
She's like,
finally, this asshole. Oh, yeah. Because he did kind of seem like a dick.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely was a dick. He was raising a little dick because freaking Armand
the seventh. Of at least seven.
Yeah. When she says of at least seven, I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure each Armand names the next Armand. And if you think that's kid who was like 13 has a son.
Yeah, I didn't really get that because my understanding is the way it works is it goes down the chain, right? So that would have to be his great 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 grandson.
Yeah, because he'd be the third, the fourth would be his son,
and then their son would be the fifth, he does not look and their that son old. Would be the sixth, and their son would be the seventh.
So the only thing I could think is that he or one of his sons had a kid when they were like 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all having kids when they're 15 down the line.
And I guess that's why she thought maybe Armand the 7th already had a son, because they're getting them young. Tracksuit Mafia catches up with her. And the only thing I wrote down from this is this, like, she gets in that car and they start, like, kicking on it. But the guy who breaks the window got to be insanely strong to just punch a window, like a car window.
His hand would be broken.
Yeah. Like, if he would have been using his elbow, I'd be a little bit more. We're like, I kind of get it. Still, it's got to be strong. But, like, just straight up punching, straight punch?
Yeah, you can't really do that.
Not without no superhero power.
That's fake news.
But that leads us to... Oh, yeah. That leads us... Or Hawkeye shows up, and then it leads us to episode 2. Because episode 2 picks up
He pulls the mask off, and he's just like, God damn it. Like,
yeah. So... He just like, this is New York City, Robert.
Yeah.
New York City, one of the biggest cities in the world. How did he find her so quickly?
Yeah.
Like, he sees her on TV.
Because he's fucking Hawkeye, man.
And then he's just like, oh, I know where she's at. She's at the house of the dude who just died that we don't know died yet. Like, I was just like, how did he get there? How did he get there just in time to save her life? How would he know where she's at? It's New York City. It's not like, you know, Marysville.
Yeah.
Where I give you some slack. But yeah, I just thought, I was like, all right. But
so we go into episode 2 right off the bat, man. Last time on?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We know.
Really?
Especially in the episodes you release at the same time as the first one. Like,
Disney, I don't even need a last Disney, time on for next week.
I know, but Disney, know the culture. You know, every almost 95% of the people who watched Hawkeye this week watch back-to-back episodes. Let's not joke, okay? No one needs a last time on an episode they just finished watching 30 seconds ago. But yeah, so he saves her. They're walking. And so there's just a lot of, like I said, that her personality kind of gets me. And one thing is, like, when she's bragging to Hawkeye that she's the world's greatest archer, and I'm like, I'm talking to freaking Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm the world's greatest. Some people say I'm the world's greatest. I was like, who? Who do you think?
Well, I do like his quip. It's like, are you one of the people that said
that? Yeah, that's what I did like that Hawkeye's response was like, are you one of the people?
Bangs his head on the door.
Yep. And then he asked her why she's not in school. And I thought that was kind of a dumb question from him because I was like, dude, it's Christmas break.
Yeah.
your kids aren't in school.
Yep. No, that's a good point. I like that she tried to get him to sign her bow.
Yep.
And that he got to see her little training area.
Yeah.
Know, with all the awards and stuff.
Target set up, punching bag, you know.
By the way, in the first episode, she brings her mom like a medal, and she's like another one for the cabinet.
Yeah.
But then she's got stuff at home.
Yeah.
But I would really like to have seen that cabinet.
Yeah.
You know, see how many trophies she does have.
Yeah, because I was like, expecting this is her mom's, like, we're going to have to take out some of the older ones. So I was like, see, I just have a crap ton of trophies. But yeah, so I've been just trying to figure this out, especially like, why? Like, I get why he doesn't want her to have the suit, because, you know, no one needs to be running out on his Ronin. And I get why he's getting back from her, but like, and I guess it's fireproof, and maybe that's why he did it. But when it was burning down, or when the building was burning down, which happens later, I'm just like, why are you trying to get that suit back?
Yeah, just let it burn.
Just let it burn. Problem solved. Bing, bam, boom. But apparently it's fireproof, because it survives that fire. But anyway, so yeah, he's getting the suit back from her. And she just instantly expects, like, we're a team now. Me and that guy.
She was not selling it enough.
What?
She should. I would have been, like, all over it. I would have been, like, train me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, show me how to do it.
Yeah. But, yeah. Just no. But so then, like I said, the tracksuit mafia tracks them down to their house, starts throwing freaking fire bombs in there, lighting the place on fire. And I like the part, because I just love, like, it's one of those things, like, in an ideal TV show, or, like, kind of what we're all used to, this would have worked. But where see the fire is raging, and he's like, do something. So he shoots the bow and arrow at the fire extinguisher, and instead of it, like, flying around, put it out the fire, just flies out the window, and you're like, nope. Like, I saw that going differently in my head.
So the apartment burns down. They go to buy supplies at a drugstore.
Yep.
Which I wish that they just, like, overplayed it, where he was getting recognized everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was... he was complaining that he didn't have a bag of money, and the guy at the front of him was like, oh, you no pay.
Yeah, you don't need a bag of money. Which also kind of, that's a mean burn, though, when he's like, I'm not a bag of money. He's like, yeah, I know, a bag of money would be useful. I was like, ooh, that's a burn right there. But then they go to her safe house, which is her aunt's place, and the only question I have is, how did that buzzer thing work?
Oh, God, it works all the time.
Really?
Easily.
Really?
Easily.
Just by, like, she doesn't even say, she says,
yeah, have you never lived in a place with a buzzer system?
No, I haven't.
You get called at random all the time. Like, I lived in apartment 101.
Yeah, but then why would you buzz them through?
Because it's the pizza guy, man.
But she didn't even make it really that clear that she said, I got a pizza, and then she just kind of like, yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, you saying, like, if she would have said, I got a pizza for, you know, maybe her aunt's apartment or any part, you know, 405, and that's not, I might buzz that person, like, oh, okay, yeah, let me just get you buzzed in.
Nah.
But she didn't even say anything. She's like,
when you're in that situation, you just buzz in anybody who calls.
Yes. Then what's the point of having a buzzer then? Like, you're supposed to be trying to kick
people
out.
Exactly. It is not a great deterrent. You need a door guy or something.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. I guess I just don't know, but to me, I'm like, if she would have given me a little bit more backstory other than got a pizza, I'd be like, okay, got a pizza. Like, at least tell me who it's for before I buzz you in. But anyways, okay, fine. But yeah, so they go back, and then, so Hawkeye goes back to the apartment to get the suit.
Yep.
This scene to me is so bizarre, because he shows up, there's a crime scene, obviously, big old fire. There's cops, there's firefighters, there's people gawking at the spectacle. There's a crime scene tape. He just walks up to it.
Yeah.
There's people, and literally, I watched the scene. There's a lady who's literally looking at him as he does it, as he ducks under the crime scene. And there's also a cop. Like, the scene starts, there's two cops, one facing this way, one facing that way, but they're, like, sitting, like, this close to each other.
Yeah.
And this cop walks
away. For everybody that they're standing right next to each
other. But facing away from each other. Yeah, exactly. And the cop on the left walks away to the left. So he leaves, and the camera pans over, so you can't see the cop to the right, but he's still there.
Yeah.
And this lady watches Hawkeye duck under the crime scene tape and just start walking around and just go, excuse me. I just was like...
So, okay, so...
I was like, this isn't stealth. This is just blind luck.
Then he goes and just finds a random unoccupied firefighter outfit.
Because everybody brings...
Which they just bring extras with them.
Yeah, you bring extras just in case someone needs to sneak into the fire.
Yeah, and then he sneaks around and I'm just like, dude, just walking and be like, I'm Hawkeye, I'm investigating.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that hard to just...
Police and firefighters would be like clapping for him.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, like,
go in, take
help.
What you want. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, and then also just like the flimsiest, like, so he gets there, the suit's not there.
Yeah.
And then like the flimsiest way of how he finds this suit.
Yeah. Because, how does he make the connection that the LARPers are like,
First off, one is he doesn't know what LARPing is, because when he shows up, he's like, this is weird. But there's that. And then also I'm like, okay, like there's a very high probability that his suit, like in most real life, especially if there's a fire and especially if it survived, that suit's in evidence. Yeah. Like, so why would you just see the LARPing signal and like, oh, the LARPers must have it, instead of thinking, no, it's in evidence somewhere because there's like, this is a crime scene.
It's not necessarily a crime scene. It could just be a regular fire. They don't know what caused the fire yet.
They do. Because remember, when they're fleeing, there's the pizza restaurant that's underneath her house. The two cooks are out there yelling at the tracksuit mafia about throwing firebombs in there. So they know that a bunch of dudes in tracksuits just firebomb this.
But either way, you get in there and you find this like gym with like its own personal archery range.
Yep.
And the suit of the guy who's been terrorizing the city.
Yeah.
And like maybe killed a rich guy.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm just like, the fact that he's right that the LARPers have it, I'm just like, really? And then so the next thing,
and has this firefighter not been watching the news?
Yeah, how does he not? And so then also the next thing is the fact that okay, so let's say a firefighter does take it who's part of LARPing. Why? I mean, not that he wouldn't, but it's like the odds that he would post something that night of him putting it on. And then also the next thing, where it's just another leap of faith or whatever, is that they also just happen to have an event planned for the next day. Like, I'm just like, so it coincidentally, the LARPers got it. Coincidentally, he posted a thing online about it. And coincidentally, there's an event tomorrow. I'm just like, come on. Like,
yeah.
With that kind of luck, you should be in there. You should be at a casino playing slots or something.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, okay. So, look, if my apartment burns down and I get blowed up, I'm taking the day. I'm not going to work.
But, I mean, if you're trying to stay out of your mom's suspicion, and especially since your mom is the boss, if you call in and be like, my apartment burned down, she's probably like, well, let me come to you. Let me help you. You know, if she's, you know.
Oh, yeah. You won't want to be suspicious around mom. You show up with a bunch of cuts on your face, which obviously she cares nothing about.
True. So real quick before that, though, there's a scene when he gets back to the house. I'm just like, what happened to you, Hawkeye? Who hurt you? Because when she's like, I love you, and it's like, why does everybody just say I love you to everybody? It's like, dude,
you have
a family and kids and a wife. You don't tell them I love you when you get off the phone. I'm just like, that's a little harsh, Hawkeye. It's just like, why is everybody saying I love you to people? Yeah, I was like, wow. I mean, I guess the snap and losing freaking Black Widow did a number on you. He should be in counseling. But anyways, like you said, so she goes to work wearing, I mean, I don't know what her aunt's sense of fashion is, but that is one weird suit.
Like 40s movie star.
Yeah.
With that big frilly nightgown.
Oh, I forgot. Actually, before they leave for her to go to work, I thought the one thing is she's watching the news and they're saying like, they're talking about Armand being dead. And I guess the maid did see him because they're like, yeah, a masked figure who looked like the Ronin and stuff. And she's like, they think I'm Ronin? And I was like, you're wearing his costume. Like, yes, they think you're like, what did you think? Like, I just thought it was so weird. She's like, shocked. They think I'm Ronin? And I was like, yeah, that's when you put on somebody else's clothes and run around beating people up as them, yeah, people are going to think you're that guy. I just thought it was just so weird of her to say that. I was just like, what do you mean?
So she has a brief conversation, you know, a little fight with the mom at work, which is stupid. She talks to a cop, but we never really get any resolution to that. I'm assuming we're going to get that in the next episode.
Yeah, because they, which I thought was weird, like, so the cop calls her because her house was firebombed, and she says he wasn't there. But one is like, she's acting kind of sketchy. And then there's the fact that he's just like, she's like, I'm at work right now, and they're like, tomorrow morning. Then I'm just like, he has to know who lives there. He called her. He called her.
Yeah.
So he's like, she's rich. Not that you think you're for sure a suspect, but I just be like, especially with how shifty on the phone's like, who is this? Who's asking all this stuff? And she's asking all these questions, and she's like, I just was like, she's fleeing the country.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of feel like.
And by the way, I'm not going to the police station before work.
Yeah.
Like, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not going to the police station.
Exactly.
She's rich and affluent. She'd be like, I got to talk to my lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll text you their number. You talk to them. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I ain't talking to no cops. This about the bell tower.
Yeah. So we get Hawkeye at the LARPing convention.
Yeah.
I already talked about how weird it is that she thinks that the cops would be annoyed that Hawkeye stopped their little scrimmage. But he signs up and ends up tracking down our ninja, who is Grills.
I love while he's getting suited up. He's like,
yeah, I know. I fought Thanos. it is kind of. And then when Grills is like, no, he says that when Grills is going to ask if he can kill him, he's like, I fought Thanos. But the thing I think is interesting is, I just feel like there was some heavy foreshadowing with Grills here.
Yeah.
Where he's like, hey, if you need anything, just let me know. I was like, I'm Grills, by the way. And he had this little heart to heart with him. I was like, oh, Grills is showing up later on in the series. I just feel like there's some heavy foreshadowing that we're going to get. He's going to need something from a firefighter. And it's like, I got a man named Grills.
That's funny. That's funny.
So, yeah, then we get her having dinner with her mom and Jack.
Which, by the way, every conversation between these three characters,
mm-hmm.
awkward.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. They start talking about fencing, and apparently Jack, because he, as Robert already said, he's going to be the swordsman. Jack has a little bit of knowledge in that area. And so he challenges him to a fight, which he purposely loses 3 times in a row, and then takes off his mask. And while I get the point here, she tries to stab him in the face, and he parries perfectly and knocks her sword out. And the only thing I think is, but then right after that, mom gets a little upset. But then everybody's like, hey, let's just talk this out. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Let's just say Jack is skilled, but maybe he's not paying attention. Or maybe Jack isn't as good as he says. Your daughter literally just tried to murder your fiance. Nah,
she knew he would block because she knew that he was messing with her.
I know. I don't get that. I know she knows that.
Gotcha.
She says that. But I'm saying to the mom, you just watched yes, your daughter says that she knows that, but you're still might doubt your mom. And also, the mom also doesn't know that Jack is as skilled as she's. The mom doesn't know anything about fencing herself and stuff. So I'm just saying, you just yes, your fiance happened to parry, but if he hadn't, your daughter literally, to prove a point, almost killed your fiance. And you're just like, I wish you wouldn't do that. I'm like, I feel like I'd be a little bit more angry. Like, what the hell was that?
She's used to her shit.
I guess. Because that's what. Or the mom is just very apathetic about everybody. Her daughter, her ex-husband, her fiance. She's like, meh. Because I just was like I said, I know that she even says, I knew he'd parry. And like I said, I get all that. I'm just saying, it's the mom I'm looking at.
Yeah. And then we get a short thing that just shows that this is just a terrible criminal.
Because he hands
her a piece of candy.
Yeah. Why would you?
That's got the thing that's got it on it. And there's a short moment earlier where they say that the color of the candy is by day. So they change the candy wrappers day.
I didn't even catch that.
Small and quick.
But I just thought the fact, just having the candy at all right after that.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Why would you be off? That's one is he's not a 70-year-old grandpa. So I'm like, why would you be offering her a butterscotch anyways? It's the weirdest thing.
He read the stepdad book.
Always offer your stepchild some butterscotch candy.
So it moves forward to...
The one thing, because I just thought her... she really needs to work on, even though, as a hero, you're supposed to be good, still, you gotta have some skills and, spy craft, especially as Hawkeye, and deception and all that stuff. And when her mom, when she's like, I gotta go, and her go-to lie to her mom, who is her boss, is, it's a work thing. And I'm like, for crying out loud, you have got to think of a better lie. You can't lie to your mom about a work thing when she's your boss.
Yeah. Just, By the way, you don't have time to go to college and have a fancy business job and become a master in like a dozen different skills all at the same time.
I mean, you're an affluent white girl, you do. You know,
I guess she would not have friends.
They pay, they just, you know, your parents give a extra large donation to Harvard, and Harvard.
Oh, she's phoning it in.
Your grades are suddenly great.
Why are all the classes you're taking to get your English literature degree in fencing?
Yeah.
So Hawkeye gets himself caught
on purpose
by the mafia, and then I just love these guys.
Yeah,
just like bro,
bro,
bro.
Tracks you up. Hey, bro, you okay, bro?
I found a bro.
Yeah, who are these guys?
But I love the little bickering where he's like, "It's really hard to find these hideouts. Like, like all these warehouses are getting turned into lofts."
Yeah, it's all about that gentrification, Robert. But yeah, so gets captured. C uses her, you know, mom's company, which apparently is, you know, hacking the systems and tracking people.
Yep.
To track Clint's phone. But also, why would you pick up? Why did the tracksuit mafia guys pick up the phone? Like, I wouldn't.
Bro, because they're
bro,
you know, because they're mean, bro, because they're evil, bro.
I guess. I feel like if you're kidnapping somebody, you don't answer their phone.
Also, I feel like Hawkeye's phone would be like special.
Yeah,
something that you
like
could just
high
track.
Encryption. And yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd think so.
By the way, she's calling him. She's only supposed to call in an emergency.
Well, she already broke that. She's texting and calling him all that stuff.
Yeah, but I'm like it's not really an emergency.
No, C's doesn't care. I mean, she literally says after he gets the, she's like, only call me emergency. They're okay. And he's like, okay, I'll call you later. Like, you can tell she doesn't care that he said only in an emergency. She was never going to, dude, if she wouldn't have found that butterscotch and she just felt like it on a whim, she would have called Hawkeye. He'd be like, what you doing tonight? You want to hang out?
But she drops in and gets captured herself.
Yep.
And that's when we get the music.
Yep.
Which is a song by Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Which is named Christmas, which is just it's a Christmas show, I guess, but it's super, super dark and edgy.
Yeah, no.
Do you know who this is?
Yes. Well, so I was going to tell a little bit of backstory about my thing with this song.
Okay.
That music kicked in, and I was like, right off the bat, I was like, hell yeah, that's kicking. When I tried to Shazam it, I was using Google, and know what Google tells you when you have it identify the song? It's like, oh, you're listening to episode 2 of Hawkeye. I'm like, no freaking duh. But anyway, so I went online and looked up the end scene song, you know, because you can look up everything. And it put everything I was finding,
Shazam.
Everything that I found said that it was Echo's theme song.
That's giving away information.
Yeah. So then I was like, who is Echo? So I looked up who Echo is.
Oh, yeah.
And Echo is the Kingpin's daughter or stepdaughter.
Adopted daughter.
Adopted daughter. Yeah. Adopted daughter. And basically, she kind of is in the same kind of vein as Hawkeye and Black Widow skill-wise. You know, hand-to-hand combat and all that stuff. Espionage and all
well,
that.
Well, she's got the same power as Taskmaster, where she can mimic any
other people.
Style and anything that they do.
Makes her name make sense. Yeah. But anyways, so Echo... Kingpin's adopted. So this thing is, and I started reading up some stuff. So there's, because one of the things I was, while watching this episode, or watching this series, I was like, is there going to be any part, like Loki and WandaVision really kind of started telling the story, just in little snippets of what Phase 4 is.
Yeah.
But and even What If to some extent, so in some multiverse stuff. But I would say Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier. No, Captain America and Winter Soldier, freaking hey. Or Falcon and Winter Soldier. There it is. Got it. Hey, Falcon and Winter Soldier. It really didn't set up for like the bigger Phase 4. It's more just showing where they were and kind of their next steps. And so I was like, is this show going to be more of that where it's not really doing that? Is it just basically showing us the next Hawkeye and how we get there and not really showing us like something key to Phase 4? But the interesting thing is because Echo's in it, there's rumors that this is how we're going to get Kingpin and Daredevil, because they've already got a Daredevil show lined up, and they're saying that's how they're going to connect in Daredevil to the MCU.
Well, Echo is going to get her own show.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. She's got her own show coming. Yeah.
So I'm interested in how this plays out, because she is a villain and a hero. Just like a lot of, no, she's definitely a hero. Never mind. That was what's-his-face? Swordsman. Who's a villain and hero.
Yep.
But yeah, so she's listed as a hero. And so the fact that she's working with the tracksuit mafia to get this watch, I'm wondering if that's going to spin us off into something bigger. Like,
yeah.
Like, Yeah, interesting. But yeah,
we'll have to see where it goes.
Yeah,
this is it's starting out weird and
it's
different.
Starting out weird. I will say this is one thing I put down is like it's a lot, especially when you think of who Hawkeye is, and I guess that's why you have Kate Bishop's Hawkeye to kind of alleviate this. The fact that it's kind of going in like a not too much, but there's like it's a lot more trying to be humorous,
yeah,
and quirky than I'd expect Hawkeye to be, and so I was not expecting that a lot.
Well, like, I mean, I think you've got to do that because I mean, if you look at the other shows, everybody's got superpowers.
Yeah,
you know, Loki, WandaVision, mm-hmm. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yeah. You've got super soldiers there. He's got his suit.
Yeah,
like it's. Yeah, it's this is gonna be interesting to see. I mean, do you think that they're just gonna fully have Kate Bishop take over the Hawkeye mantle by the end?
Maybe not by the end of this, but I do think during Phase 4 she is for a couple of things. One is they've really put one is like I said, we saw the damage the
young
to Clint
and stuff.
I mean,
like
the younger, but also like we've seen that the toll this has put on Clint both physically and mentally, emotionally, like we said. And then, like you said, he has a family, like, unlike. All the like he is the only Avenger. I mean, I guess you could say Iron Man to extent with Pepper Potts and then Vince has a kid. But for the rest of them, okay, Ant-Man too. Never mind.
I was and like, Wanda now, kinda.
Kind of, she but that happened kids. After the Thanos stuff. Yeah. Like he's the only one from the beginning. And then also he's also like Ant-Man was kind of not arm twisted, but kind of like hoisted into that where he chose it where like yeah, he has a family and kids, and he's lost them once already.
Yeah.
And so part of me is like, yeah, I see this as kind of like, I'm not sure if it'll be during the series or if it'll be a little bit later. But yeah, I think it's so he can step away because it's like, yeah, he has a wife and kids that are worried about him. Like, well, I will say his wife and kids are also very understanding of his role because like his wife, when his wife says he's going to do a catch and release and she knows that means he's going to purposely get captured.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. Have fun. Like she's not like, and then like, the thing is like she also what is it? When he's talking about the tracksuit mafia, and she's like, oh, those guys. So it's like she knows all about his life and stuff, obviously. But they're like they're very tolerant. But I think I think Clint is trying to step away from you know that life, you know, because you know there's only so many times you can go up against an intergalactic being as a dude with a bow and arrow and survive. Like we saw in What If. Clint didn't survive that time. So there's only so many times you can be a normal guy and fight someone on that power level and walk out the other side and be like, I'm still here. So if he's done it, what, 3 times now? I think it's time to call it a day.
Yeah.
don't be rolling them dice too much. Eventually the house wins, Robert.
But most importantly, will he be home for Christmas?
I know. That's what I'm trying
to. I think he will.
I think he has. I could just.
He's going to be beat up.
It just would not. He's going to be home for Christmas. He's going to bring Kate with him.
Okay. So, okay. Can we? Okay. If you're his wife, you got to be like, hold up. Like she had to have concerns that he was him and Black Widow.
Oh yeah, I've always thought that.
And then it's like, oh, Black Widow's gone. Here's my new young.
I didn't think about that. Bit. But no, I've always said like, and not that you can't be best friends with someone else in sex, but I just like, with how much time they spend together, I just feel like his wife has got to be like, but she always seems so cool with Nat. She always seems so cool. So I guess his wife is just a very understanding, caring woman who just knows that her husband is not a normal dude. He's a freaking guy who fights evil purple men from outer space with a bow and arrow and has a best friend who could kick anybody's ass you just gotta accept that, Robert.
All right, as always, you can find us on our website watchingitpod.com. there you can find links to all the different services where you can listen to our show and rate and review us. You can also email us from the site or directly watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. we'd love to hear from you. Donnell, what else should they do?
Just as always, if you can just give us some ratings, reviews, 5 stars, whatever you want, and any feedback. We're always just looking to, like you said, keep growing the show, keep making it better, give you guys what you want. Yeah, and so yeah, just give us any feedback you have, and thank you so much. Bye.